So we had WEI put up a poll. I'm guessing this was Scott that tweeted this.
It was Ken Laird, actually.
Okay. We'll give Ken credit. He said, who should be the number one star of the Bruins game 3 win, Marchand or Swayman? And 63% said Swayman. Was Swayman the best player on the ice in game 3?
Start to finish, he has to be, right? 60 minutes, he's on the ice. But
I actually think it was Marchand. Listen, they were both great. They're clearly the top two stars. I actually think this was more Marchand, number one star, but that's not to detract from Swayman, who was great.
Yeah, it really is like a pick 'em. I mean, the only reason I would give it to Swayman is simply for the fact that he's out there the entire game and can't take a shift off, whereas Marchand and any other skater can afford to take a couple of shifts off, perhaps. So that's the only reason I would go Swayman, but again, it's a pick 'em. And Bridget, there was I believe you did this poll?
Yes. So I put up another poll after the game just because I wanted to see if people were still rotation or were trying to gauge who's sticking with the rotation bandwagon and, or who just has seen so much good from Swayman that they're like, okay, no, Swayman. So I said, if you were making the choice, would you go with Swayman or Ullmark next game? 81% said Swayman. And that is way higher than what we saw earlier for game 2, which was as like a 55-45 split, which was also pro Swayman, but 81% this time.
Well, I don't know if we want to do a drum roll for Scott to see where he lands. I mean, I'm not surprised. I obviously, despite my subtle sarcasm last episode,
Brian's with the 19% now. He's pro rotation. He got the tattoo and everything.
Yeah, he changed it to his profile picture for like 1 hour.
Which was that's because I didn't want to be a jinx because like the Stanley Cup is in it and I don't want to jinx him anyway.
Wait, I gotta find the picture and show you. But anyway, yeah. Keep talking while I do that.
But look, myself, Bridget, there it is. Yeah,
it's great work that I did on Photoshop.
Hilarious. And I was also, I don't want to take credit for it. I don't want people to see anything I did that. So I that's also why I changed
it. No, but just if anyone wants it, I will email you it and you can get it tattooed on you if you'd like. It is very crudely Photoshopped. The Stanley Cup is the size of each player.
By the way, seeing that made me think, like, if they actually do win the cup, like those two,
that would be hilarious.
They will do something corny with, like, they'll do like a double hug of the cup or something. Like,
yeah, yep.
And like everyone will be celebrating, so no one will care. But then, like a week later, we'll be like, that was kind of corny.
That's kind of just how they are, especially Swayman. get back on track.
Yeah. So my sarcasm aside, last episode, I've always said, and I still am, like, I it's game to game for me. I've never wanted a strict rotation. Neither has Bridget. That doesn't mean we don't want both goalies. It's just a matter of like, just look at each game, go with feel and whatnot. But Scott, heading into game 4, are you sticking to your guns? Do you want them to go back to Ullmark with the strict rotation? Because you said no matter what, you want them to go 4 games at least with the rotation. So drum roll, please.
Hold on. I did not say that no matter what. I said rotate until one of them gives you a reason not to. Jim Montgomery was the one who
you were going to die on this hill for game 2. You were going to die on this hill. And that's why we were yelling at you.
I was, what are you talking? Yeah, I'm pro rotation and I didn't have any reason not to be at that time.
And now you do?
No, I don't.
So you
Linus Ullmark was good in game 2. What?
So you go in Ullmark game 4.
Sure.
No, I need a yes or a no.
Yes, if it were up to me, I would keep rotating.
I respect
that
it.
That said,
I respect.
I can't sit here and say like I feel super strongly. I mean, listen. At some point, even the people like me, you can't ignore how dominant Swayman has been against Toronto all season. He's now 5-0 with a. Hold on, I wrote it up. What was it? A 957 save percentage. 957, 5-0 on the season. And you know, so a couple, like, normally I would make the point of, I think part of the reason Swayman looks so good is that he's on his regular rest. And I do think that helps. I think keeping goalies fresh helps. So, you know, would Swayman have been as good last night if it was his third straight start and not second in three games? I don't know. Maybe, maybe. But I think it's a factor worth considering. That is somewhat negated by the fact that you have 2 days before game four on Saturday, and then two more days in between four and five when it comes back to the Garden on Tuesday. So I would not care. I would not put up any sort of fight. I would not call it a mistake if they go to Swayman in game four. I don't see how anyone could possibly consider it that a mistake or really be strongly opposed to it. But I've been pro-rotation long enough, and like I said, didn't think Ullmark played poorly at all in game two. So I'll stick to my guns for now. I think I'm going to be wrong, by the way, because I do think they're probably going to just stick with Swayman at this point.
Really? Because I for some reason, I have a gut feeling that's telling me they're going to go back to Ullmark, even though I don't think they should.
Well,
something is telling me that that is what they're still going to do.
They have no second guesses. This is their.
Well, I think they already told Ullmark he's going in. Not that you can't just tell him no, but like, I feel like they probably already told them this is the plan, and then, you know, they might go off of it. They can. He's a professional. He should be able to handle being told, actually, no, we're going back to Swayman. Like you said, the rest makes it easier to, you know, it gives you a little bit of extra, like, okay, he's, you know, he got the rest. We can't really say like he's going to be tired. But I will say, I think that the reason why it seemed like rotation was the stronger option going in was because both goalies, like, we hadn't seen this level from Swayman, right? Like, Swayman didn't just come in and play like good. He came in and he has played the best hockey we've ever seen him play. So we're kind of under this circumstance where it's like, all right, he actually stole it. And you got to give him a whole lot of credit for that. But I think it's still surprising that he came out. What?
Don't know if I'd say stole either win. Like,
he stole. No.
I think the Bruins were better in both games.
No. He's, as in, like, he's stealing the starting job.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I think that the reason why it was hard to predict was because Swayman had a little bit of a rougher end of the year. And then all of a sudden, you watch how he's playing and you're like, I wasn't expecting this good, right? We know he can be really good, but this seems like a new level.
Look, I don't know about you guys, Bridget, and I don't know about you, but entering the playoffs, the week before the playoffs began, I wasn't sitting here being like, you know, Swayman's the guy every single, like, it had to do with the fact of who they ended up drawing in the first round, how that goalie matched up against them all year and how he played in game one. This was never an anti-Ullmark thing. This was a matter of just looking at, you know, matchup and analytics and whatnot. And Scott kept saying he really wanted to see the goalie rotation and what that looked like. You know what we haven't seen ever? We've never seen Swayman get a playoff series start to finish. And this dates back to the Tuukka Rask days when Tuukka Rask was playing hurt. And Swayman was playing well as a rookie against the Islanders. We kind of want to see it then. And then I know people will say, well, they're not used to carrying a load, and I get all that. So my question for those people is, couple days ago, the first poll we put up after game one, who should get game two, Ullmark or Swayman, 45% of people said to go to Ullmark. After game three, people are now it's 18%. So I want to know, from those 27% of people that switched their vote now, my question to you guys, and this is a serious question. After game one, you wanted to go with the rotation because it's what the goalies are used to, and you're not sure how they would do on consecutive starts. My question to all of you now is that still not a concern for you? Like, all of a sudden you're okay with consecutive starts? It's either you are or you aren't. And I genuinely don't know what people's answers to that are, you know?
Well, I think that I can kind of guess, because
Well, you don't have to guess. I can tell you because I'm one of those people.
True. He is one of those people.
I already said it. The 2 days off between games matters. Like, that, that's different
and than also, every other night. That's and fair, also, that's you're if you're saying you want him in for game four, that doesn't necessarily mean you want him in for the rest of the series. So, like, you could think, like, okay, get him rest after that as well if he needs it. But I want to read the quote from Swayman after the game that has to do with all this. He said, "I think for me personally, I don't want rest. I just want to keep playing. No matter when I get the call, whether it's back-to-back or every other game, I want to make sure my body is ready and I'm ready to perform at my best." So, I mean, it's obvious that he thinks that he can go. And any goalie will feel that way. But he deserves the start. And in my mind, he gives you the better chance to win. And that's nothing against Ullmark. It's not that Ullmark's playing bad, but for whatever reason, Toronto just cannot seem to crack him. And I think he's in their head a little bit. And I also think that this is something you brought up the other day, Brian, that goalies in every single situation play pucks differently than the other. And like Swayman is playing pucks, you know, coming out of his net to play pucks differently. Swayman is controlling rebounds differently. Like, say there was a time during Allmark's start where he just didn't cover up one puck and he made a great save on it, but maybe Swayman would have controlled it differently, ends up somewhere else. You know what I mean? Like, every single aspect of the game is changed by the way the goalie either covers the puck, holds the puck, gives up a rebound, plays the puck. Like, there's so many other things that go into it just besides the saves that we would never be able to judge what the game would even look like in those situations. Right. Like, sometimes Swayman helps the breakout. Sometimes, like, there's these other things that go into it, not just the saves.
I mean, to push back, like, was that an issue with Ullmark in game two, though? I think Ullmark's a better puck handler than Swayman usually.
So,
judgment of.
Can I just say real quick, Bridget, to your point, and Scott, like, you're here. Here's why these arguments are especially like online. It's after game two, people were saying Ullmark was the best player. He's not the reason they lost. Both of those things were true. And yes, he might be as good as Swayman at certain attributes like puck placement, playing the puck and whatnot. But literally, you can't look at game two and say, would Swayman have done any better on those shots? Cause like, it's a different game literally would have played out. And people will say, well, Swayman had so much better defense in front of him in game one. And it's like, okay, fine. But like, maybe there's a reason, like, who knows? There could be a reason for that none of us can even explain. It could just be subconscious. It could be luck, whatever the case may be. The second that you decide to start a different goalie, it changes. Like, you can't compare it to the other guy. Cause it's the universe. It would have been a different game. Like, seriously, I don't know how else to explain it. So people trying to compare, goalie for goalie, save for save analytics and comparisons, it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. Like, it's a butterfly effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not, like I said, not that I think Ullmark's bad in any of those ways. Like, literally just talking about guys read things differently. It bounces off them a different direction. Like, literally the way the puck bounces or the way that pucks are handled it's just one of those things where, like Brian said, it's a butterfly effect. It's unknown what those bounces would have looked like the other way. Like, it's a completely different game. Like, it's not, we would have watched in a parallel universe, we would have watched a very different game too, if it had been Swayman, because Matthews wouldn't have, you know, rang posts all over the place and whatnot. But
it's not really worth getting. I don't really think I agree with that, but
which part?
That's okay. We don't agree with you.
It would have been the same shots? The Austin Matthews breakaway happens the way it did. It's a different game.
I think for 2 years the Bruins have, by and large, played about the same way in front of both goalies. Like,
that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I see, but Scott, that's not what it's you're trying to make it black and white. That's not what we're saying. It's just a different what it really is dumb, because Bridget can't say what she just said and then you come back with the whole they've done it for 2 years. It's an unfair response to what she's saying.
I think maybe Scott maybe I'm not explaining it very well, or maybe Scott's not understanding it, but
no, I don't, simply put
the Austin Matthews breakaway goal, no goalie on planet Earth is saving that shot. But no. Like, that exact play doesn't happen, because maybe he gets a breakaway at a different part in the game some other way somehow, but not in that moment. It's because, again, it's just the it's a different game.
I don't get. Yeah, I legitimately don't get how this works. So Charlie McAvoy is going to play better defense if it's swinging back there. That's not what we're saying.
We're just saying it's a different game. I don't know how else to say it, Scott.
From literally players make everything happen. We don't have to go further.
Yeah, it could be as simple as the puck drops and Toronto gains the line and Swayman covers it, and it's like there's a whistle that doesn't
happen. I feel like I'm like Zach Galifianakis in the Hangover with like all these like numbers like swirling around and trying to figure out what you guys are getting.
The simplest way to describe it is the butterfly effect. Like, everybody knows what the butterfly effect is. That's all we're saying. Butterfly effect. Done.
Yeah.
Leave it at that. Oh, but regardless, what do you say?
I said, got it.
Okay. Regardless of who plays in net, if the Bruins played the way that they've played throughout the majority of game three, I think they should have the upper hand in this series regardless. Because what we all can agree on is both goalies have played phenomenal when they've been in net. So goaltending, no matter who starts, goaltending is not an issue for this Bruins team, especially over Toronto. I mean, that Samsonov goal that Frederick scored, I mean, that's a goal that I don't see Allmark or Swayman giving up. So that's a strength, obviously. Like, we all agree that the goaltending, both goalies are capable of winning. So
I saw this hashtag trending after the game. Hashtag let Sway play.
Let Sway play.
Yep, let Sway play. It rhymes, so.
Yeah. Okay, so we're running a little bit late here, guys. Any final takeaways from the game? I know a lot happened. I mean, I'm not sure if we've neglected anything major.
Nylander still didn't play.
Yes, good point. So, and it seems there might be some more clarity on that. Looks like it may have been a head injury, not a back injury. Either way, it's probably something that Toronto's not trying to have a rash decision on. They're trying to take their time with him. So their season's kind of in the balance here. If they lose another game, you don't want to go down 3-1 to Boston. So, but you also, if he is battling concussion symptoms, you can't just rush a guy like that into the lineup. So
no, and technically there's a protocol you have to clear. Like, there's physical outside forces that stop you from putting a guy in that's not ready, that's dealing with concussion symptoms.
Regardless of what it is worth knowing, like, he took line rushes at morning skate on Wednesday. Now, maybe that's just because Austin Matthews didn't, so there was a spot to plug in an extra forward anyways. Matthews took the option and didn't skate in the morning. But, I mean, it does seem like Nylander's getting close. Like, you're not on the ice and going through drills if you're still, like, 5 steps away. Like, that's usually getting pretty close to the last step, so we'll see. You know, when the Leafs writers like tweeted out that he was taking line rushes, I thought, like, oh, okay, he's probably back. And then he hangs around after with the rest of the scratches, and he's out again. So who not, like, again, it seems to me like he would be back for Saturday, but, you know, I think we all kind of thought he was getting close already. So that's, you know, very interesting. Like, obviously, yeah. I think after game two, you'd say, like, oh, okay, well, the Leafs have been the better 5-on-5 team. So, you know, maybe they don't really need him just yet. Obviously, they'd always want him. But then you get a game like game three, where the Bruins are now suddenly the better 5-on-5 team. And, you know, now you're looking at, like, okay, the Leafs could really use him.
Any chance the Bruins play Forbert Saturday?
I don't think so, because I think they keep the same lineup after that game. But like as we already said, like I would.
They said he wasn't available for game three, but he did go on the trip. That's why I say that.
Yeah. But that can also be, you know, they're going to have a full team practice on Friday, so I'm sure you want him there for that.
Yeah.
So even if, against the playoffs, so they're not going to tell us anything, but like, even if the plan was, he's not playing either of these games, you'd still want him on that trip, especially for that Friday practice.
Yeah, and he's technically listed as day-to-day. It's not like a healthy scratch, they say. So
yeah,
he's not 100% yet, I guess. But just wondering, like, if you really, if there was part of Laura's game they really didn't like, or part of someone's game that they really didn't like, like, say they didn't like Shattenkirk's game. Like, we saw them limit his minutes to just about 10 minutes. I don't know if they're willing to go that far and put someone else in for him. But just figured I'd throw it out there, because that's just one guy that's been injured, because we're talking about Nylander, another guy that's been injured for the Bruins. That, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll see him at some point in this series. Maybe we won't. We don't know what's going to happen with Nylander either. And I don't know if Toronto, like, it seems like they haven't been able to find their full A game without Nylander.
Yeah, and I think as far as Forbert goes, like, I just don't think you don't want to throw a guy into the fire right now unnecessarily. Everybody on that Bruins back end has, you know, they've got their timing down right now, their gap controls, they're figuring out against these Maple Leafs forward. So to throw a guy in there after, how long has he been out for? A couple months?
March 2nd, I think. It was very early in March.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So not as long as I thought. But yeah, and you know what? He got a conditioning stint in Providence, so it's not like he hasn't seen game action. But I think, I don't know, I would just treat him as a rotational defenseman right now, like, or a depth defenseman. If somebody gets hurt, if it's necessary, yes. But I wouldn't just throw him in the middle of a series to get this is the time to get a guy comfortable, get a guy reps. Like, unless they need him to go in, they shouldn't put him in. Nylander, yeah. I mean, I think it's a 100-point score, just about. So that affects Toronto's team. I will say, if I'm a Maple Leafs fan, you're concerned about when he does go back into the lineup. Is he playing a little bit more timid, to, you know, with trepidation about getting hurt again or whatnot? Is he not his full self, right? So we'll see if he gets back into the lineup, if he's William Nylander of midseason form, or if, because he was struggling the last month of the season too. So combine that with being injured, in particular, if it's a head injury, you know, it might take him a little bit to get his feet wet too. So time will tell.
My last thought is just that the officiating needs to be better. Well, like, I'm not saying for one side or the other, like, they screwed. I just think they screwed up the whole game. I just think that they missed a ton, and then their standard changed throughout the game. And that's just really what you don't want to see in the playoffs. Like, if you're going to let stuff go, you just gotta let it go. Like, it, I don't know. It felt like they missed some pretty obvious stuff too. The high stick on McAvoy, which was right in front of everyone's face. And you know, playoff standards, you have to be consistent.
I think we decided as a podcast last year or the year before to, like, just try to look the other way in officiating and expect nothing less than horrendous officiating for the sake of our blood pressure. I mean,
that's why I saved it to the end, but, like, of all of my notes, we got to everything else. And I was like, I wanted to mention that the officiating was very frustrating. So,
well, yeah. And to tie it back to Sheldon Keefe, like, it's really rich to be complaining about the officiating in a game where you got five power plays. Like, I don't know. Maybe worry about getting your power play going. Like, it, you know, you got a ton of chances, dude. Like, okay, maybe they missed another one or two somewhere. To Bridges' point, like, they clearly missed a couple obvious ones on Toronto. So, you know, I get it. Like, it's, you know, it's that time of year. You work the refs. You know, whine and moan and whatever. But
I don't know if that works the refs the same way that I feel like that works against you, honestly.
Wow. Worked for Craig Berube in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, it did. But this one sounded like there's something about this comment was different than just being like, you know, the refs missed stuff. It was like you discredited everything you were saying when you said Marchand gets calls.
Yeah, I don't think he was worried about discrediting himself. I think
clearly not.
I think he had different goals in mind than to compliment Brad Marchand.
Well, if his goal was to anger his own fan base, he did that. So I saw Sportsnet put up the quote, and every comment underneath it was maybe score on the power play. Like, oh, did you see the one that Domi hit Swayman? Like, there was just, it was all negative.
Sportsnet in Canada, they will do anything they can to get headlines. There's a video of Marchand skating back to the bench after the open net goal, and they're trying to lip read that Marchand is skating by the Maple Leafs bench saying
it's over in five.
Meanwhile, there's 35 seconds left on the game clock, and he's talking to his own bench saying there's still 35. So as in, like, you know, keep it going. Maybe he did say it's over in five, but the point is Toronto media just takes everything they
posted it and took it down.
Yeah, I was going to say they finally deleted it after getting like thousands of engagements and, yeah, you know,
right,
setting that narrative on fire.
Damage done.
I will say, because I don't think we mentioned it, but since we're talking about coaches complaining, I didn't like Montgomery complaining about the schedule before the game. If anyone missed this, he said in his morning skate press conference on Wednesday that he was asked, so like, it's not like he totally brought up out of the blue, but he was asked, you know, do you like the two games between games three and four? And he said, no, I would rather us be Thursday, Saturday up here. We're spending more time in Toronto than the Leafs are spending in Boston, and we're the home team. And like, you could tell when he first answered, he gave like a short answer that was just like, no, I would have preferred Thursday, Saturday. And then he like pauses, and it's like, if he just ended it there, fine. Mm-hmm. But like, then he goes on the other thing about spending time in the city. And I was, you know, it didn't matter. His team went out and won, but I'm like, kind of weak. Like, listen, like, everyone knows why the schedule is like this. It's because of TV. It's because you're the marquee series.
Yeah. So, and the draft, the NFL draft, you don't want to put up your game against the NFL draft tonight.
Right. ESPN has this game. They also have the NFL draft. So they're going to put you on Wednesday. So you're not going head to head with the draft. And then you're going to have to wait till Saturday because you're going to get Hockey Night in Canada. So, you know, like, hey. You're one of the marquee teams, so the TV networks are gonna put you in the prime spots. Like, that, you know, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, maybe they get that extra day off. They go do something fun, like Scott was referring to back when they won the cup and they took a trip to Lake Placid. You know, like, maybe they do something fun. Who knows? Maybe they just sleep the whole day. I'm fine with that. I mean, that would work for me.
Well, they got to have something planned because they don't have any sort of skate or practice Thursday. They have, so obviously I'm not in Toronto, but they have their media availability at the team hotel at 11 and then nothing on the schedule after that. So like, I can tell you right now, like, they're not just sitting in the hotel all day. So they got to have something planned.
By the way, we're recording after 11. I haven't seen a single thing come out of that press conference. So
there is a level of so Montgomery complaining about it, you know, you guys just hit it all. That said, there are some differences in Toronto and Boston. In Boston, maybe 1 in 10 people, maybe, will recognize Austin Matthews on the street. In Toronto, 11 out of 10 people are recognizing Parker Weatherspoon on the street. So there's definitely a level of like having to kind of deal with that for an extra day, but who cares? They got to deal with that regardless.
I don't know. I saw Pastrnak walking down the street in Montreal. Not a single person stopped him.
Oh, really?
He was just walking down the street. Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying that people would stop him, but you definitely have people like whispering, probably taking pictures and whatnot. So
I didn't see any of that.
Again, it's pointless to complain about it. I mean, I've
11
actually
11 out of 10 though. Wow, that's
yeah, something like that. Yeah, I think if my math is correct, yeah.
I don't know how that would work. Yeah, I don't know, but yeah,
a couple mares. There could be a few mares in the room, you know.
I thought you were thinking maybe some dogs or something.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
The dog just absolutely losing his mind over Jesper Boqvist.
He's like, it's my favorite player.
It's like a little chihuahua. Okay. Anything else, guys? We good?
All good.
No.
All right. Saturday night. So an extra day in between here. Hope you all have a wonderful Thursday, Friday. Enjoy Saturday, the game. And I guess we'll Sunday and Monday. Sunday skate will drop, and then Monday we'll do an episode.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you all. Thank you all for listening. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you soon.